Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's say hello to Mike McFarland, who joins us every week right here on the Border Patrol. What's up, Mac?
Boys, how you doing?
Not as good as Jorge Soler with 44 home runs now. He's just one behind Mike Trout for the AL lead. What a magnificent season Jorge Soler is having. I mean, I don't know even what to ask you. Just it's awesome, isn't it? I mean, 44 home runs, and he's got a shot to lead the league.
Yeah. It's look, not knowing what he came from last year, and then you see this. How many times have you seen him just absolutely abused at the plate? You haven't. He's been on balance. He's been on time the entire season. Slapping hits the other way, his strength getting him some bloops here and there. But it's not, I mean, look, I'm still hacked off that he wasn't in the home run hitting contest, and maybe it might be a good thing because he might have pulled something, because he sure doesn't get cheated when he lets go. But just the frequency of how he barrels it up, and we're talking out of what, those 45 home runs, 44 home runs, how many of them were wall scrapers? I mean, everything is 25, 30 rows up, into the fountains, off the Hall of Fame at Kauffman, dead center. I mean, it has just been, it's just the best part. I was driving around yesterday listening to it on the radio, and just the crack of the bat on the radio. Now, granted, there were 27 people in the stands, but it was just unbelievable, the sound that the ball makes coming off his bat. It's similar to when Bo was playing and you knew he got a hold of one. It's a cannon going off.
So I felt like one of the things that we got cheated out of with Bo was that we never got to see him really, really figure it out, you know, adjust to major league pitching and develop an approach and all that. Are we seeing that from Soler? And if so, like, what has he done this year? Like you said, whereas last year, you might watch some just terrible at-bats from him where it'd be three pitches, strikeout, back to the dugout. You just don't seem to see that as much now. Is it a change in his approach or the way he swings? What is it?
I think you're right, Nate. It is his approach. You don't see that front shoulder just blowing wide open like you did last year, making him susceptible to sliders and off-speed pitches. I honestly think he's trying to stay in the middle of the field more, which is why you're seeing with two strikes, he'll punch a single the other way or hit a ball out the other way. I just think that his balance is outstanding. He's trying to stay in the middle. And more importantly, he is just on time with every single pitch, whether it's 92 or 98, he's on it. And it's just unbelievable how hard the balls are coming off of his bat with the exit velo. It's just an impressive all-around monster season, second to, I haven't seen any seasons where you have just been this consistent from opening day on.
Mike McFarland is our guest. Mac, I don't know how superstitious you were as a player, but it's okay. So you'll appreciate this then maybe. So Pete Alonso, who is he's leading all the majors in home runs of 47, he's going to win Rookie of the Year, one of the best rookie years ever. In the middle of the game yesterday, so he struck out twice and then reached on a throwing error, and so he said he needed to make a switch, and so in between innings he shaved his mustache off because he did not like the at-bats he was getting with his mustache. Did you ever do anything that drastic during a game to try to change your fortunes?
No, I didn't have time. I mean, I had the gear on. I had to take the gear off. You'd run out of time, but yeah, there's guys that would run up, change their underwear and jock straps, and come down to their third and fourth at bat, just trying to mix things up. Absolutely, you're grasping at straws if you're in that position. I don't know what the hell he's doing though. He's just 47 bombs, for crying out loud. I think he's doing just fine as a rookie, but yeah, those type of things permeate the locker room and the baseball world when it comes to jinxes and hexes and trying to reverse things.
So what was your biggest superstition or anything that you, a ritual or anything you had to do like before a game or after a game?
So I had my socks and underwear that, you're going good, you're wearing them, and you're continuing to wear them. You know, I've seen Hall of Famer George Brett go in and try Gary Thurman's back for one at bat when he was struggling, and it's like, okay, if he's doing it, then I'm not. I don't need to go in and talk to the team shrink as much as people think I do. So, yeah, the superstitions run rampant, and sometimes it's done out of fun, and other times it's a legitimate case of I need to mix some things up here.
Okay, so Mac, the Royals actually have been pretty hot lately. They've won, I believe, 4 series in a row now, but those series were against Baltimore, Detroit, Miami, and Chicago, all pretty rotten teams. Now they close out the season with all playoff contenders: Houston, Oakland, Minnesota, Atlanta, and Minnesota. What is fair for us to hope for or expect from the last half of September for the Kansas City Royals, considering the teams they got to play against?
Well, it's you know, especially the rest of this week with Houston and Oakland, the next couple series. Minnesota, I don't think is going to clinch anything till last week. Atlanta should have it locked up by the time they play, you know, on the 24th. But, you know, this is going to be the time that I think the Royals are going to continue putting their kids in these situations against this this talent of pitching. You're still going to see the aces go out there and get their work, even if they do clinch it. But they want to see, you know, Bubba and Maverick and O'Hearn and how they do against these guys, against the good stuff. Now, they beat up on a damn good pitcher yesterday, Giolito, who has just had a tremendous year for a bad ball club, like you said. But they want to see how they play against the big boys. Here's the elite of the elite coming in the rest of the season. That's what's intriguing to me, is just to watch how they perform against the top-shelf teams now the rest of the way.
They've been taking a long look at Ryan McBroom. What do you think of him?
Swing hard, swing up, hope you hit it. You know, I heard Bod the other day, you know, say he's got a long swing. I just don't think he has a long swing. I just think he tries to muscle up too much. I think he's got very good hands, obviously, but at the plate, I just think he's if he calmed things down a little bit, he'd be a little bit more consistent. But he stayed on a changeup, I think it was, yesterday, and put a nice swing on one against Giolito, and that pitch is, like, unhittable at most times. So he's got some tools. He's got some ability to play multiple positions, which, you know, could be a valuable bench player going into next season.
All right. I was very anxious to ask you this question because, again, I was entertained on Twitter yesterday watching there was a little bit of a slap fight on Twitter about Zach Greinke, because someone tweeted out and said, was Zach Greinke maybe his final start ever at Kauffman Stadium on Saturday night? Hopefully a bunch of Royals fans get out there and give him a standing ovation. He deserves it. And then several people replied, screw him. He wanted out of town. He wanted out of KC. No thank you. Didn't like his attitude. I'm not going to give him a standing ovation. I'm going to boo him. And then there were some people in the middle. Jake is laughing hysterically. What do you? Why are you laughing? What do you? Yeah, I mean, you know,
I just thought people get that word.
Right,
I mean,
well, but it's but once you know, it's right.
I mean, the guy brought the pieces of the championship, the major pieces, big pieces. Kane.
Right, but Dayton Moore made the trade, but he
right.
wanted out.
So but it wasn't like he tried to do that. Like, yeah. He wasn't like, hey, I'm going to help the Royals win a World Series by demanding a trade and vetoing the first one.
No, he didn't try. But I mean, that they
so
they
I don't
used
like
him.
I feel because of Nate's approach towards Zach Greinke, I side with Nate. So maybe I'm not the biggest Zach Greinke fan. And so Mac, what's your opinion? How do you feel about Zach Greinke and his return to Kauffman Stadium?
Indifferent, not a fan. Tremendous job by Dayton getting those pieces. You know, I don't like when professional athletes hold an organization hostage. You know, it permeates through the clubhouse. It causes derision in there, and I'm not a fan of that stuff. So, you know, wish him luck. He's a damn good pitcher, but I hope he gets absolutely shellacked by us on Saturday night. So, you know, I don't see it as Zach helped us get those pieces. That was Dayton Moore. Everybody wanted Greinke. You know, you just knew you had to deal with his little temperament. But the guy guy's a hell of a pitcher. And if I'm making a trade and I have a chance to get Zach Greinke and I have a chance to catch that kid, hell yeah, I'm in. I would love to have him on my pitching staff. But you know what? I think there'll be good fans here in Kansas City. You'll give him the courtesy applause. I don't think he needs nor deserves a standing ovation. And quite honestly, from what it sounds like, I don't think he cares. He just wants to go out and help his team win, which he's one of those guys. When he's on your team, you love him. When he's on the other team, you hear all the bad things about him. So, yeah, I'm indifferent to it. I like the Astros. I like the organization. And obviously, A.J. Hinch, the manager, so I'm playing for them in the American League this year. But as far as it comes to Zach Greinke, like I said, I'm neither hot nor cold. He's a damn good pitcher, and the Astros are lucky to have him on their staff.
That's to his credit. He's been asked about it the last time, I think, he played against the Royals, and he said, look, the fans there aren't happy with me, and I don't blame them because I told them I didn't want to be there anymore. So, he gets it. I mean, he's a straightforward guy. He'll say what he thinks and not really sugarcoat it. So I'm with you, Mac. I mean, I don't feel any reason to boo the guy because the Royals got a World Series and he didn't. I mean, I think that's the great irony of the whole thing. He wanted out because he wanted to go somewhere where he thought he could win a World Series, and he's been in the playoffs a bunch, but he hasn't won a World Series, and the Royals have. So,
no, he's a phenomenal pitcher on a very good team this year. This is his best chance ever to win a World Series. So, good for him. But again, we're the one with the American League champions flag and the World Series champions flags hanging out there. So, you know what? It worked out for us even better.
Mac, thank you for the time, man. We appreciate it.
Have a good weekend, boys.
Oh, we will. It's the American Royal, sir. That is Mike McFarland. Back at this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.